Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell, and you join us as we have just this moment finished our 248,800 minutes silence to commemorate and remember the WWE career of Jinder Mahal. And now we're over that, and we can move on. Let's get on with the show. I'm your host, Andrew. With me, as always, it's Mr. Ross Bell.
He's been hindered, Andrew. It's taken a while, but he's been hindered.
End of an era. Forget the Paul Levesque era. It's the end of the Jinder era.
It's weird, wasn't it, that he was just kind of knocking around this sort of most recent run he's had, where he'd occasionally just get thrown into like a title level picture and then suddenly just disappear again as well with his two mates that he had with him. It's been a bit of an odd run this time.
It's really peculiar. Like, he gets picked up. Like, yeah. We'll get into it when we talk about like the releases, but it's just weird how they remember he's there and then they seem to forget again.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. And it's been going for what, 4 years now, really? Like,
yeah.
That he's just kind of been there for months and months on end with nothing and then gets thrown a bone, does okay with the bone, and then they just forget about him again.
Yeah. I mean, the people that are on the roster that perhaps shouldn't be on the roster. He was fine in the ring. And did you see Drew McIntyre tweet as well? Like, we've shown them once before, we'll show them again or something like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
AEW champion by the end of the year because he's got a built-in feud with Hook.
Guaranteed.
If Hook doesn't make the other
champion for them.
A lot of people talking about Hook maybe going to WWE after putting Jericho over that young stud that he is.
The young buck.
make sure those young guys get a shine. Right, okay, we're on the road to Backlash France in Lyon, France, obviously. We're a couple of weeks away, a few weeks away, and we've got a Raw and SmackDown to start building that pay-per-view, as well as the draft, which is next week. So next week's episode is going to be all about that draft. This is the last Raw before the face of WWE changes in regards to where people are going to be. This time next week will be the final night of the draft. I assume it'll be a four-day thing, supplemental over the weekend with the website changes for people not big enough to get a TV draft move.
I think so, yeah. It'd be weird if Cody ends up on Raw and after saying his goodbyes last week.
It's funny that, isn't it? Yeah, it seems like, well, he's going to be staying there. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be available to draft, and obviously Raw won't get there first to draft him.
No, yeah, SmackDown. Raw must take their first pick. I wonder who it's going to be, because Raw always goes first, so.
Usually does. Maybe SmackDown will go first this time so they can pick Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. And who picks? I assume it's Aldis and Pierce,
isn't it? Yeah.
I loved it when they actually had them pick them out of a tombola. So I love that word.
I loved when they were all sat backstage. That was the best draft.
Not just, oh, here's a thing on the screen randomly announcing that this person's moved. No, give us old school. Like, if you're going to do a draft, and I don't care either way, if you're going to do a draft, make it like it's... We're apparently getting to like a new era of WWE in regard to they want to present like other sports. We'll do it like the NFL then, for example. Or do it for like the way other sports do drafts. Like, do it that way.
The NFL draft is also next week as well, so Raw have definitely timed this perfectly.
Oh, yeah, that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Okay, right, let's start with SmackDown last week. 19th of April, it was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We opened the show with AJ Styles versus LA Knight, battling to become the number one contender to Cody Rhodes, officially now titled Undisputed WWE Championship. Universal has gone. There is no more Universal Championship.
I quite like the little rebrands of a lot of these titles we've had recently. It works because,
SmackDown is the WWE show almost, and Raw is the world show.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, interesting, but fine.
But World is fine. I didn't like Universal. Never liked Universal. No. And World is sufficient. I like it.
Yeah, it works.
It's all good. And we'll get on to more about title belts very shortly, actually, in this episode.
Yes, we will.
This was another good match. It was much like a Mania match with an outcome that I think we all called a mile away because of what happened at Mania. But it's not a bad thing because AJ Styles is going to Backlash France to face the champ.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting, right? That's going to be a really good match. Like we touched on last week, there is that built-in story if they want to go there, if both being former Bullet Club leaders. It's going to be good. You can't go wrong with AJ. And AJ and Cody, fantastic. Yeah, bring it on.
I saw on Cody's Broken Skull Sessions from a few years back, he did one of those like quick fire answer things.
Yeah.
And he said his dream opponent was AJ Styles.
Oh, so, wow, okay.
Here you go, Cody.
What have I let LA Knight off the back of this? Because there's another main event shot that he's missed now.
I still get drafted to Raw? Why not? Try him on the main show and see how he gets on a Monday night. At this point, it's sink or swim. Like,
stick him in the IC title mix.
I hate to say it with you because you're not a fan. I don't know if he fits in the IC title with how things are shaping up, and we'll get onto that with Raw.
It's a very serious belt, isn't it? He's not a serious character.
It is. I still see him in the US title picture with Logan Paul, but then that stuff with Randy Orton doesn't seem done yet, so I don't know. I don't know where LA Knight goes at the moment. He's kind of floundering through no fault of his own. It's just he's done nothing wrong, but I suppose at the same time, has he done anything to stand out?
I think they've missed the boat, haven't they? They've missed the boat, but unfortunately the boat was captained by one of the greatest of all time, so he's never going to become the captain of that boat.
It's a problem we've had for 4 years. People come through and break through and are ready to smash through the proverbial glass ceiling, but there's someone who's literally standing on that glass ceiling stopping anything coming through. It's not Roman Reigns' fault. He was just the greatest of all time. Again, we've said back in the day, you were maybe got like a month-long reign and then lost it on a Saudi Arabia show or TV show, but that doesn't really exist now. AJ moves on to Backlash. There is a contract signing set for next week on SmackDown. So that's standard. It's boilerplate. We know what we're going to get from a contract signing.
But
we've got two former NWA champions here. Like, if you wanted to go down that route, as I said, the Bullet Club thing as well, they've got, you could say indie guys as well. Obviously, if you want to, AEW and the indie thing. And obviously, Cody was indie before AEW. So
I think there's no way those things don't get mentioned by Cole and Pat on commentary in the lead up to this. It's definitely going to get brought up that where they've been and where they are now.
I would have thought so. Yeah. I would have thought so. Okay, backstage, we have Solo Sikoa wearing a suit because nothing says top line heel like a suit. And it works. It absolutely works. Introduced Tama Tonga to Paul Heyman as his MFT. Now, this was used all night. With no explanation of what it means.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's probably a Samoan thing. Like, I'm sure there's some sort of Samoan acronym that they've pulled out. I don't know.
Bit of background. Yeah. Would have been good.
That'll come, I'm sure, at some point. Solo demanded Heyman take him to Kevin Owens right now. So all through the next, hour or so of TV, this was the story. Solo wants KO.
Yeah.
Right, more Paul Levesque time because he's got more new belts to introduce. But this time, my God, they hit a home run, didn't they?
Oh my goodness, they're almost perfect. They are like 95% perfect. We said last week, give us those rectangular old style WWF tag team title belts.
Mid-90s ones. So Money Inc., Steiners, Head Shrinkers,
exactly those belts. That.
And we almost got them.
They're so close. These are the nicest belts in that company right now, I think. I don't mind the Cody Rhodes title. I think it's fine. Like, I'd love to see a Winged Eagle, but it looks big. It looks imposing. It looks like a good title belt. It reminds me of the big gold, the old sort of the big title.
Yep.
But yeah, these are spot on. These are so much better than the Raw titles as well.
Given that SmackDown is the WWE title realm, and obviously we've now got this modern take on a 90s classic, is this now the closest we're ever going to be to maybe seeing at least a modernized version of Winged Eagle, seeing as the WWE champion is on SmackDown?
Well, we both hope not. We want to see Cody's known for having love for those old titles. He brought back the old IC title way back in the day, and just imagine if he pulled out of a bag the Winged Eagle title, or even sort of the updated version that Stone Cold had, like one of those sort of belts would look great. And they're leaning into that rounded design more now.
I'd accept the late Attitude Era, the Austin belt, because
the Austin title,
I'll accept that because it was Winged Eagle and it was a bit more, I suppose, a bit more modern. So they don't have to modernize it up even more, like they've done a little bit with the tag ones. But yeah, these were good tag or good title refresh.
It's just a shame they're on A Town Down Under.
I still can't help but feel there are any sort of stand-in champions.
Yeah.
Because they're a good cheap heel team to get heat that can. Yeah. You want to see lose, but they keep sneaking their way to wins.
I like Waller sure leaving Triple H hanging for the handshake and shaking.
I like Austin that. I also like Nick Aldis. Basically took charge of it. Nick Aldis has been incredible since he started.
He
just brings in. I don't know if it's because everyone knows he can wrestle, even though they don't talk about it. It's like you're almost like, well, if he wanted to, he could sort all this shit out. But he just chooses not to at the moment. And I don't know if that's it. Whereas with Adam Pearce, even though you know he is a former NWA champion, like he used to wrestle.
Yeah.
You don't get that feeling. Whereas Nick Aldis looks imposing in the really big shouldered suits, and he just looks like
he does.
He could at any point take the jacket off and destroy the entire roster if he wanted to. But he just he's got a presence. I really like him.
I've been surprised to get this because he's always come across as a slightly uncharismatic man as well, especially in his TNA runs and things like that. But I think this role really suits him. I think he's made for this role.
And he started as a gladiator. He was one of the gladiators in the UK. So to all of the cast of the new gladiators now, I did see one of them was at a live event for WWE last week in his gladiator gimmick. He I think it was Apollo, showed up in the leotard. And so the thing is, I watched the new gladiator. I'm slightly off time. Yeah. I watched New Gladiators when it was on, and I really liked it.
Yeah,
really good. Shame there was no John Anderson, because Mark Clattenburg is, well...
But I have an issue with a giant being called giant. He's 6'5".
Yeah, there's bigger people. There's bigger people on the show than him. How is he giant if there's other people bigger than him?
He's two inches taller than me. Smaller than me.
It's weird, isn't it? But like, the one thing I liked was watching them is all the heels, and you could tell they were being heels.
Oh yeah,
they were perfect. It was like classic indie, like UK wrestling heel.
Yeah,
and you think you could do a job. Like if you've got any wrestling ability hidden in those steroided bodies, you could literally do a job one day, because you could talk, and in front of the right crowd and with the right wording, you could be a decent mid-level heel.
Yeah, definitely.
And when Gladiators comes back for season two, if it all goes tits up and they find themselves looking for work, look to pro wrestling in England.
My brother-in-law's applied to be on that as a contestant as well.
Nice. So we should hope to one day see you in the crowd on the next series then.
On the side.
We could chuck in like a Ring the Bell shirt or something there somewhere.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Merch link at the end of the show. Stay tuned. Yes. Right, Stance, speaking of tag titles, up next we had one of our favourites. It was a multi-man match determining number one contenders. It was the Street Profits and AOP and New Catch Republic and Legado del Fantasma in a fatal four-way match to become number one contenders. Ali brought up a point in our chat this week. Are they just doing all this because the draft's coming up? They don't want to tell stories, and that's why we're getting like multi-man matches to determine number one contenders.
I think he's right. You don't want to lean into any sort of heavy story-led stuff now, because like you say, 2 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, it's all going to change in theory.
Yeah.
So I think he's spot on there.
Street Profits won. We can hope this might mean a renaissance and a refocus on them as a tag team now, and not just Lashley's boys. So, they'll be the first babyface team to come unstuck against A Town Down Under, who will sneak to a win. Who knows? Yeah. Right, backstage now, more Bloodline saga. Heyman apologized to Solo that he's not been able to find Kevin Owens as of yet. He also told Solo that he's making decisions that should only be made by the tribal chief, and it's not his time to make them yet. Solo very abruptly asked if he was done. Heyman answered yes. Terrified, Heyman answered yes. And they made their entrance. Cameron followed them, and they made their entrance into the ring for a promo, where Heyman was all puffed up like a peacock, got his confidence back, and starts to talk about the politics of wrestling, the politics going on in the Bloodline, and the crowd chanted, "We want Roman." And I love that the camera went on to Solo, and they caught him saying, "Oh, now you do." It's building. You can
already feel the ground swell.
You can feel the groundswell is there. Roman is going to be the biggest babyface in wrestling when he comes back.
Yeah. Like we said last week, people are already kind of a little bit bored of Cody because he hasn't done anything since he won the belt, and they already want Roman to come back as the face to be him.
We are Roman's ruining wrestling with his 4-year title reign. 3 weeks later. We want Roman. It's like, okay. I tell you what, Roman not being there, and he still made Solo a star, because Roman just not being there has allowed Solo to push forward.
Mm.
And
it's fantastic,
he's getting the dom heat. Like, the boo's got louder as he tried to talk. Yeah.
And he's got Tama as his new solo. He's the one going out there and beating the crap out of Kevin Owens and bloodying him up and bringing him out on the ramp. Yeah, it's all just building beautifully.
We get some blood. Blood is back again. But as Triple H did say in the Mania talks, only use blood when it means something.
Yeah.
And it did. Like Kevin Owens, the assault seemed much more, well, the after effects of the assault seemed much more serious because there was blood. It didn't just feel like this guy's got dragged through the backstage area and thrown out to the ring. It was, oh my God, what has happened to Kevin Owens? Like he's almost dead. And it's weird how just that little bit of blood used at the right time can make things seem so much more serious.
Yeah, it's so much more impactful. And yeah, this was fantastic. I really loved Kevin Owens is great. I can't wait for him to mix it up with Solo. I think that'd be a fantastic match, even with Tama. But yeah, I think they just look menacing. They're so menacing, those two boys together.
After the break, Heyman and Nick Aldis were in the parking lot with Aldis basically dragging Heyman, telling him that Tonga had hit Owens' car with his. He warned him that the savage behaviour would not be tolerated and the bloodline must be aware of this. And that with the upcoming draft, the top brass had their eyes on things and that losing wasn't the only thing that had consequences. I love that the bloodline no longer means anything in terms of power. Like Roman losing and leaving, there's no fear almost anymore of the bloodline.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you're nothing. Like, you don't get your own dressing room. Like, it just feels... And it should be. Like, they lost the power. They lost that, you know...
They lost all the gold. They lost the biggest
I like the fact
star.
That Solo and Tonga are kind of doing things without Heyman's knowledge. And Heyman's the wise man, but there's no Roman. So is there a wise man anymore? Like, it's... I love this. No, it's layers. It just, it's layers.
It's layers upon layers. It's like the world's biggest onion. It's fantastic.
Santos Escobar beat Carlito. And I don't know why we should care about this because the LWO thing is completely dead.
Yeah, they keep running with it. But yeah, I'm over it now.
As we said earlier, the contract's on next week on SmackDown or this week on SmackDown for Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles Undisputed WWE Championship match at Backlash France. And then main event, it's Bayley, her first defence of the WWE Women's Championship against her friend Naomi. Anyone could see this outcome coming a mile off. Tiffany Stratton did get involved, Tiffy time, and she beat both women down. No contest. Good. Triple threat, Backlash?
Yeah, almost certainly. I'm here for that as well. That'd be great.
Bayley I would have Bayley win because I think Tiffy's got to win the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yes, yeah. Because her character fits having that briefcase as well. It just looks perfect with her, yeah.
A new character doesn't need a title this early, doesn't
it?
She needs to either earn it or use the briefcase as a way to get there.
Yeah, definitely.
I like this SmackDown. It was good. It was world building. It may not have been as dynamic as last week's, but it told stories. Everything had a purpose. Well, even the LWO stuff, there's not much there anymore, but everything happened for a reason. It wasn't just thrown out there for nothing.
Yeah, it's joined up thinking every single week now, which is great because we had lots of rules that just felt like it was entirely random, everything that happened on that. Mm-hmm. It had no effect on anything else outside of that. So, yeah, it's joined up thinking. I'm all here for it.
Right, moving on to Raw last night as we record this, and probably as you hear this as well. When Columbus, Ohio, Jey Uso opened the show and was very, very quickly interrupted by Damian Priest. They spoke about their battles last year. Priest revealed he hadn't spoken about this before, but Jey basically beat him so bad one night that he went up to Damian and said, "You've earned my respect."
Yeah.
He took Jey out for drinks. Love Jey's little quip that he took an Uber because, driving with those drinks now. A bit more back and forth about how Damon came across really sincere, and then he did the twist of the knife, and now he's Jay's a tag wrestler, and the machine will feed me guys to make me look good, and you're just the first guy they're going to feed to me. And Damon looked good here. I brought in.
Yeah, it looked like he'd grown in confidence. The line that they use about when he was talking to Jey almost sincerely, saying that you said to me we were next, and he said, "Well, actually, you were half right because I was next." Like that was really like, "Yeah, I am the man. I'm the champion now." And Jey is just so over. It's mad. It still baffles me that this guy is this over. But he's having a time of his life. He looks fantastic. He's a really good wrestler, a really good storyteller. Yeah, I'm here for it. If he loses to pretty fine. It's not going to affect his standing, I don't think, at all. I think he's almost bulletproof at this point. Roman's done such a good job with him to get him to be sort of that level that, yeah, he can be around that picture and not have to win the title for a while.
JD McDonagh ran out to try and attack Jay, but missed the super kick and hit Priest instead. Again, it's telling stories that the Judgment Day teased breakup is still bubbling.
Yeah.
Even with Rhea seemingly out the picture at the moment. So yeah, I like
Jay saying you're the only the leader of the Judgment Day because Mummy's not here. So,
yeah. I like it. Okay. World Tag Team Championship up next. Awesome Truth beat DIY to retain. DIY just isn't working, is it? On the main roster.
They're missing.
They're
about to have a big heel turn, I think. I think we're getting the way being reformed because of Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. They're already heels. If DIY turn heel as well, and you've got Dexter Lumis still on the card somewhere. He's somewhere.
I think he's been released yet. I think he's still employed.
No, he's still with the company. Not been seen on TV for over 18 months at this point. But he is there, and Triple H has factions. And
so post-match, Gargano shook hands with R-Truth and Miz, but Ciampa refused to. Now, Ciampa's going heel, which I'm all about because I love Ciampa.
If we get Ciampa versus Gargano, yeah, fucking hell, I'm all for that.
DIY doesn't seem to have that thing that that works in NXT. I don't know if the way would be any better because we've seen when the women's matches, people don't really care about Indy Hartwell. People don't really care about Candice LeRae.
People don't
care much more about Gargano and Ciampa as a team. I don't know if it's not the NXT crowd. I don't know if it's just the act doesn't translate on a bigger scale.
I think it's the crowds. Because those NXT crowds, even the NXT 2.0 crowds and whatever sort of NXT thing we're in now, they are very, very knowledgeable about indie wrestlers. People who turn up to Raw shows are not necessarily IWC people, are they? They're just wrestling fans. Wrestling's in my town. Let's go and watch it.
It's not like Gargano and Ciampa have done much on the main roster in the last few years to say, we know they're indie guys, but we don't really know about them, but we do know they can do this. Like, well, what have they really done? Like, Ciampa's been got on and off, like injured. Yeah.
He was Gargano, Mrs. Buddy for a bit,
went away,
wasn't
he? He got released and came back again. So,
yeah.
I don't...
They've had a fair amount of chances at this point as well, which is it's just... We know what they can do. We've seen the absolute wars they had in NXT.
Yeah.
Just give them a chance to do that on the main roster, but
would Ciampa's heel character translate to the main roster, do you think?
I don't think
the team does, but I think Ciampa's... I think there's a space for that. The Goldie Ciampa that we saw in NXT, no entrance music, and he just was serious. That I don't think there's a character like that on the roster, which means he's got a spot he can fill.
Yeah,
I just
absolutely
something needs to happen. Whether it's the way, whether I don't know what, but this version of DIY, forget the DX stuff, it's stupid. But this version of DIY is not working.
No, it's not. It's a shame. It's a real shame.
Okay. Gunther making his first appearance since losing the IC title at WrestleMania. Come out for a promo with Imperium. He acknowledged he lost to Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. Thanked him for taking the target off of him.
Brilliant.
And I love this. He's now the Hunter instead of the Hunter. I was like, give me a Gunther top nine main event run now. Here we go.
They gave me goosebumps listening to him to say that. He's a fucking terrifying man. It's that they're in formal dress as well, like a nice jumper and some proper trousers and some shoes. Looks terrifying.
I know. Like, dressing that smartly scared the shit out of me. It's like he decides to wear clothes that he could also destroy you in and not crease. And that just seems really menacing to me. He declared it would be in the King of the Ring tournament, which is next month in Jeddah, I believe.
Got to win, right?
It's the King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. And he then warned whatever champion he decides to target when he becomes king. Is that going to be the stip? Like, you get a title shot, or is he just saying, I'll become king, then I'll go after a title? Like, they've not officially said anything, but...
No.
It's just Gunther's words. Again, words don't get said for no reason.
No,
whether it's a
not
script
anymore.
Or whatever. But, like, him saying, I'll become the king, I'm all the ring general, I'll become king of the ring, and then whatever champion I'll decide. It's like...
It always used to be the thing, didn't it, that you won King of the Ring, you were sort of the next...
Kind of.
Next in line. And, if Gunther's playing into that sort of history of King of the Ring, then I'm all for it as well. I think he has to win it. I don't want to see him take another loss until he loses a world title at this point.
Give him all of the awards and titles you have to before he gets onto like Damien or Cody or whoever it is, you know? Like, and King of the Ring is perfect for Gunther. Ring General, who wants a King of the Ring? Like, you know, it's pretty much there. Like, okay. New Day came out, and this very quickly led us to Teddy Long player, a tag team match. It was New Day versus Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. New Day won. Yeah, which doesn't happen. I can't use those words for a while, to be honest. New Day won.
I did like seeing Wood say, we fought them so many times. Why are we fighting them?
No, I like that. It's a little thing. Yeah. Post-match, Gunther looked really disgusted and walked to the back. Kaiser refused to make eye contact with a disgusted Gunther. Then helped Vinci up to the ramp and then turned on him and beat him down and threw him into the LED walls and the screens and hit him in the head the way he did to Kofi a while ago. And the announcers brought up how that almost cost Kofi his career. It's like, was it that bad? Does he have the punt from Orton now?
He seems to have done.
Has Kaiser got the punt now? I like it. The thing is, the crowd were buying into it and he looks terrifying. Like,
Kaiser's
he
over.
Looks like a scary dude.
Yeah, he is over because he's that sort of silent assassin sort of guy that could be really nice and friendly to you, then just suddenly turn and flip. The backstage thing with him and Adam Pearce. Pearce says, bring your checkbook. He's like, worth it. Absolutely worth it, the attack.
So the camera followed Kaiser backstage where Gunther was waiting. And Kaiser said he told him it would get it done.
Yeah.
So for ages now, Gunther's obviously amazing.
Yeah.
But the rest of Imperium just feel like they're his lackeys because that's what they are. This changes it now because it means it's not just the sidekick.
Mm.
Like, Kaiser, for me, is, if not main event, he's up a mid-card quality. Like, he is that good.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, we do have certainly an Ilya Dragunov coming to the main roster imminently. Oh, yes, please. Please give him Gunther versus Dragunov. Please.
If Dragunov has to get through Kaiser first, they're going to be great matches. If that leads to then Dragunov versus Gunther, oh, Christ.
If we can't have Gunther, I was looking at the schedule yesterday. So SummerSlam's the first Saturday of August.
Right.
And Bash in Berlin is the last Saturday in August.
Okay.
I believe. They're 4 weeks apart. So if we can't get Gunther in the main event for the belt by Bash in Berlin, which would be a crime if we don't.
Yeah.
Can we please have Dragunov versus Gunther in a 45-minute classic in Germany?
God, yes.
Please. Please. Yeah. That's all I want.
It has to happen.
All I want.
Yeah.
If you work for the belt, fine. I'll take it for the world title.
That's not a problem as well.
Either way, I would be stunned if we get to the end of this year and Gunther is not world champion or hasn't been world champion.
Yeah. I can see him being the one that beats Priest, definitely.
Either that or we're getting Drew versus Gunther for the belt. Yes, please.
Again, fine.
Oh, absolutely fine. Okay, Drew McIntyre promo now. This was great.
Yeah.
This is everything while Drew McIntyre is as good as he has been and is right now. So once again, telling the cameraman, don't film up my kilt, you perv. Love that. then did what all great heels did. They believe what they're saying. He believes that Priest cashed in his Money in the Bank like a coward at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He believes that he didn't get the rematch that he should have got the night after. He's probably not wrong.
Yeah.
Then he's in the Fatal 4-Way match and CM Punk got involved and like a coward, Jey Uso took advantage. All of that is factually correct.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
He believes it. It's all right. This shouldn't be a difficult concept to get your head around.
No.
Believe what you say and that's it. And the heels are best at that. If a heel believes what he says and is actually telling the truth, money, absolute money.
Yeah, we had two of these heel promos this week. We'll get to the next one in a little bit. But yeah, Drew was just on that. He's on absolute fire on that mic this year. Like, he's been incredible for 4 months now. Obviously, Sheamus came down to the ring, tried to talk him round. And then Sheamus saying we had banger after banger after banger. And then Drew says, it looks like you've had burger after burger after burger.
Oh.
he gets it, doesn't he? Like, he is the voice of the people right now.
So obviously we spoke last week about the stuff with Sheamus and the response it got. And I will say, Sheamus looked like he has already dropped some weight from last week.
Yes, he did. Like, yeah, he looked good. Looks better shape anyway. Yeah.
Already in the space of 7 days, give him like a month.
Yeah.
That guy will
be back to Sheamus shape.
He will be there. Yeah, so they just talked about their history, and Drew was like, I was backing you up last week. I was standing up for you backstage, and everyone was criticizing you and slacking you off and stuff. And then Sheamus with a great line, I can lose the weight, you can't lose. Did this come from? What did Sheamus come? Where did this Sheamus come from?
This is, I'll have more than this. I've seen Sheamus versus Drew thousands of times before, but I'll have some more of this for a little bit. Just as a little sort of side feud while Drew gets to where he needs to get to. Yeah, fine.
So Drew said he was going to stand ringside and watch Sheamus's back because this isn't a worthwhile fight and the only fight's not worthwhile. I like that too. It's good. Also, Drew declared for the King of the Ring.
Yes.
Drew versus Gunther in the final, please.
Oh.
And it's a Saudi show, so it'll get time as well. I like it a lot.
The King of the Ring shaping up to be great already, just for those two names.
Even the fact it's in Saudi Arabia isn't going to deter me. It means that we can watch it on a Saturday morning at 10
exactly.
o'clock.
Come on. Get my takeaway in and watch it and then not have to go to bed immediately after it finishes.
Can we have Drew versus Gunther on a before midday on a Saturday, please? Oh, yes. Shinsuke Nakamura was the sacrificial lamb this week to Sheamus.
Shinsuke.
It was what it was. Sheamus looked fine. Say, he looks like he's dropped weight already. He's moving quite well. Bro kick to finish. I like that Drew didn't get involved because he said he wouldn't. He just watched.
Yeah.
Because, again, Drew tells the truth.
That's what he says he's going to do. Yeah.
I also love how in CM Punk's absence, he's being kept hugely over purely because of Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. If they don't hand out MVPs for wrestling for the years, but he really deserves this MVP for 2024 already because he's just been incredible. Like you say, he's managed to keep Punk at the very top of the card with him. Punk's not even been there.
I think it will be the one category in our end of year awards that won't have actual nominations. It'll just be the Drew McIntyre award.
Drew McIntyre, yeah. Honorary pick is Drew McIntyre.
That's it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win Wrestler of the Year, or Promo of the Year, whatever, he will be MVP. And he gets others over. He's a heel who's getting himself over, but also he's keeping CM Punk totally relevant. Like, Punk doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to work the shows. He doesn't have to be there.
He's intertwined in so many things, McIntyre, that he doesn't have to have that one central focus. He's got so many other things, bits and pieces going on and every week that it's just superb. It really is.
Like, McIntyre is making sure that by the time Punk is cleared, and that rolls around, it's probably going to be around SummerSlam time, maybe.
Yeah.
Punk and McIntyre is going to be one of the most hotly anticipated matches we've seen in years.
Yeah.
And they don't need to even touch. Like,
no,
this is
really
all through Drew's mic work. From Mania up until when the match happens, the majority of that time, Punk won't be on TV. And it will be massive.
I'm looking forward to the one-on-ones on the mic as well during those two.
Oh, my God. Insane. More on Drew in a bit where we'll get to it in our other news section.
Yes.
After the Sheamus match, Michael Cole noted that the only title Sheamus hadn't won in WWE is the RC title. He had. I could have sworn he had, but obviously he hasn't. It's Michael Cole saying it.
This was a big thing before he got injured, wasn't it? This is his big thing last year that he's determined to win the RC title and he's never won it before. Like, we know this. Like, this is obviously where he's going to go. And if we get Sheamus versus Sammy or Sheamus versus Chad, fine. Like, not a problem. Again,
it's also it's weird to think that Sheamus has won everything bar one title. Like, I know he's been around for 10 years now. 2013 was it he came in? I think it was.
Yeah,
every belt in WWE apart from the RC title, and that's a belt that's well within his sights as well. Like, it's not like you can say, so and so's never won the world title, but they're not really in that kind of contention anymore. Sheamus, give him a month to get back into Sheamus shape, like fighting shape.
Yeah.
And we could be looking at an RC title picture of Sheamus and Sammy and Bronson Reed and Chad Gable. There's your workhorse belt. There is your fucking workhorse belt.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's what that belt always used to be. It was the worker's belt. It was the next step and your way up the championship. Yeah, it's been held by some of the biggest names in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Sammy's own promo backstage talking about being the champion, and obviously last week the attack on Chad Gable. Bronson Reed interrupted, basically made it clean, wants the belt, and then he attacks Sammy. By the numbers, this is fun. Give Sammy an opponent to you and to be with for the moment while they build up the Chad story or the Sheamus hunt or whatever you want to go with.
Yeah, again, it's like you said a few weeks back, Bronson is there. He just wants that championship. He just wants to be a champion, and he's a very dangerous man to be sort of coming after it. So Sammy's got he's got a few things to be focusing on here. So it's, again, storylines coming out of our ears.
Okay, second best moment of the night. Could be tied. Could be better. I'm not sure, actually. Yeah. Between this or Drew. Chad Gable in a suit.
Oh, yeah. Serious Chad. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Comes out with the Afro Academy. He said he can accept Zayn beating him last week, but he cannot accept Zayn rubbing his face in it while bringing the belt over to him while he was in the corner on the floor, or then celebrating with his wife. Yes. Anyone would be offended by that. It's like, you've just beat me. Don't rub my face in it. Like, don't go. Like, so he'll talk in truth.
Yeah.
All about that. Fine. He said it should have been him at WrestleMania. Absolutely right. It was your story to tell.
Yep.
But he wasted his time training Sammy and a bunch of freaking losers. And then we get the money shot of this entire thing. He criticized and buried Tozawa and Maxxine Dupri.
Yeah.
And then turned to Otis and said, "You're my prize pupil, my number one guy, and without a shadow of a doubt, you've proven to be the biggest disappointment of them all." Oh my God.
Yeah, this is what we wanted. This is proper heel Chad. And the fact that they all said they will help him now, like they're all behind Chad to make him the champion. Yeah. Like he ain't wasting his time with them.
Now the mafia boss.
Yeah.
It's like the mob boss of these three people. It's
The way all three of them were just stood behind him with their heads hung in shame when he was on the mic. Yeah. He looked like a megastar. And this is Chad Gable. I did not think we were going to get to this point with Chad Gable when he first came in, but look where he is now. Like the matches he's going to have. I just want that wrestling machine character, and I think we're almost there, really. I think we're almost with it.
Okay, after that, we go backstage. Dominic, Mysterio, and Ricochet are having a bit of a come to. It all sort of dies down. Then Liv Morgan shows up, approaches Dom, and nothing is said. And I thought, oh, someone's looking to become a new mammy.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this is part of Liv's revenge tour.
Yep.
And this take is Dom basically, I'm going to take Dom, or at least I'm going to look to take Dom away from you, but I'm not really going to take Dom away from you, but I'm going to make Dom walk away from you.
The more we get Dom on screen, I'm all for. And if go with this angle, it'd be great, because he's not doing anything, really. He's kind of flitting between Judgment Day and LWO and all sorts of bits and pieces. He kind of seems a little bit lost, really. So, yeah, make him Liv Morgan's new toy to play with until Rhea gets back. Yeah.
Okay, talking of not really doing anything and going anywhere, Andrade's still here doing the Black Mask gimmick, and nobody cares. Like, seriously, what? Am I missing a meaning to this?
He's going to be and a really high pick in this draft as well.
Everyone's missing to it.
He's getting a proper pick in this draft. He ain't a supplemental player. He's going to get picked by someone quite high. And I don't understand what Andrade is. I never did on the main roster before. I liked his NXT character. Whatever character he had there, he was just a good Mexican wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't understand this thing.
Thing is, he looks good.
Yeah.
He can talk. And he wrestles really. He's a really good wrestler. So,
yeah.
They always say if you could build a pro wrestler from scratch, it'd be Randy Orton, you know. So you go the look, and Andrade's got the look, the talk. He can. He's better, but he can talk. That's fine. The work, he works really, really well.
He's fantastic in the ring. Yeah.
Is this technically not the complete package? What's missing with Andrade? There's like a massive question mark. But the weird thing is, not only do I not know what the question is, I don't know what the answer is either. I don't know the question or the answer, because something is not there, but I don't know what it is, because every box seems to be ticked.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they do with him.
Like, there may not be better workers than him, but right now there's better characters. So I'd rather see Chad Gable in a prominent position, Sami Zayn, anyone in the Judgment Day. You know, I want to see stories with them. I don't care about stuff Andrade, but I know he's good. Like, it's weird.
I think the issue is he is really good and he's good at all of those things, but he's not great at all of those things. Mm. Like, he's a great wrestler, but like, talking wise, yeah, he could be. There could be someone who could take the mic for him and make him like a Brock Lesnar sort of destroyer character. I think they're just kind of killing time until Charlotte comes back, and I've got a feeling they're going to put these two together on screen.
Oh, that doesn't
but just
work.
Because she is, for some hat, she is a mega star within this company. People love or hate her. Make them like an evil duo or something.
The problem
but
with that, though, is that she's the mega star and he's just Mr. Charlotte Flair.
Well, yeah, exactly.
This is what Becky spoke about in her book, like about her and Seth. Like,
yeah,
they're not equal. Because they're not like, and this is gonna be the thing. Charlotte is, whatever you think of her, she is viewed as a megastar. She is accepted as a megastar,
especially by the eyes of the company as well. She is one of their top sort of five names.
Yeah,
that they've put down.
It's always gonna be, oh look, I brought my husband along. Oh, hi.
He's got his black mask on again. It's weird, isn't it? I know. But...
Yeah, it's. So Andrade team with Ricochet to beat Escobar and JD McDonagh because this LAWO stuff is still going on. I don't. What is it about? Like,
yeah,
it's a waste of Dominic at this point.
It is. Dom's suffering from this because he's not really on screen as much as he should be because Rhea Ripley's not there anymore, and he's stuck with his losers. Really, I mean, Ricochet's great. He's a fantastic wrestler, but I know nothing about why Ricochet wants to be a wrestler apart from that he just loves to do flippy moves.
That's it.
And JD McDonagh is. He's the whipping boy for the Judgment Day. Escobar, yeah, he's, again, a great wrestler, but there's nothing there, is there? There's nothing with any of these guys. This could have not happened, and I wouldn't have been sad I didn't see it this week.
I saw an interview with Rey Mysterio this week where he said, oh, he was always working on the fact that he would retire when he hit 50, but he's going to just probably wrestle past that. And part of me thought, the reason why you keep getting asked to keep working is because they don't have a new you.
Exactly.
Like, remember when Cena did that promo with Roman Reigns? Like, the reason I'm still doing this part-time is because you couldn't do it full-time. And it's like, reason Rey Mysterio is still wrestling at nearly 50 is because we don't have a Mexican star to stand in. We don't have... Like, we've tried it. Del Rio, multiple times. Andrade has gone away and come back again. Santos Sin Cara. Is there. You know, get in a position. Carlito's been brought back. Sin Cara. They've tried... we talk about the Samoan fan. We've tried the fucking Latino wrestling planet, it seems, and nobody can replace Rey Mysterio. So we're still going to bring him out with his fucking bionic knees at this point. This
which
is what
like
he's
you say, which
doing.
Is ridiculous because it was Rey Mysterio doing his matches with Eddie Guerrero back in WCW in the mid to early 90s.
97.
And they cannot replace this man.
We are nearly. 2024 now.
Yeah.
So we are, nearly 27 years off of that classic. And Rey Mysterio, bless him, is working with his son on TV, which must be great, but he's still going because it's like, don't leave yet, Rey. We've got the please. Guy, trust me, this is the guy that's going to replace you. It's like, actually, can you come back again, please? Because it's not quite worked out. And we've got a Latino market to exploit, so, you know, please.
Ray turns 50 on December the 11th of this year. So they've got a few months left. They've got 8 months left.
Please, can we have a retirement match at Mania 41?
Yeah.
Like, that's not to get rid of Ray, but let him retire. Let him go. And if you haven't got anyone to replace him, that's your own fault.
Yeah, tough shit. You've had 27 years.
Levesque's got now a year to work something out.
After the match,
Damian Priest came out and assaulted Ricochet and Andrade and then told Dom... I don't need you. You need me. And he's probably right, because Priest is right now carrying the Judgment Day.
I think by the time Ripley comes back, there is no Judgment Day. I think they've massively imploded without her being there to hold it all together. Yeah, I think would be the story.
I would actually go with the story that Liv Morgan could be the one that causes the implosion. And there's the next part of the revenge tour.
Yeah.
It's like, if fantastic. I can't take your title, I'll just take everything else you have.
Yeah.
So I'll leave Dom like a battered, like... shell of a man. I've broken up your group. You've got no title. You've got no group. You've got no Dom. That's it. There's your revenge tour. It doesn't have to be about a belt.
Yeah.
Perfect. So
Perfect.
Okay. Speaking of Rhea, the vacant women's championship's on the line. Last week I said don't do a battle royal. So this week they do a fucking battle royal to crown a new champion. Could this have not been a tournament to lead up to Backlash?
Yeah. All that Queen of the Ring thing that's coming up quite soon. Get a bit of time on the line there.
If you didn't want to drag it out till then, which is only a month or so from now,
Yeah.
Backlash in France. It's what, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
3 weeks away, I think, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do a tournament. Instead of having 50 women, just do like an 8-woman tournament over a few weeks. Do it on Raw and SmackDown, whatever, yeah. if you really had to. And there you go. There's you have a final that means you've got a women's match that means something on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
In a what's going to be, I assume, a hot crowd in a country that doesn't usually have live wrestling, especially on pay-per-view.
Mm.
But instead, we do it here in a Battle Royal, which main events, fine.
Yeah.
Appreciate it's main eventing. And it got time, they got real blow. At the start of the show, Cole and McAfee were actually in the ring talking about the women's title and the Battle Royal. I like the focus it got, but not a Battle Royal. I did like Cole talking about how there's only been three other championships decided in the Battle Royal before, and they actually named the winners of those.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That makes it seem like it's quite a cool thing that...
It's not as much of a used gimmick as I thought it was. I thought it was a regularly used thing. Turns out it's not. It's only the fourth time it's happened. So I kind of take my words back a little bit, but still, there are other ways to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, right. The participants, in no particular order. Becky Lynch, who apparently, according to Meltzer, was taking a break.
It's almost like Dave doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Fucking idiot, you know. Shayna Baszler, actually, before we carry on, I'm gonna go to it. So, AEW this week, or last week, Dynasty, Danielson versus Ospreay. We've seen the match. It's a great match. I still think it's better. It's not as good as some of the other matches I've seen from American wrestling, despite Meltzer's claim that it's the best US match ever. Like
50 stars.
Really? Like, Austin Bret at Mania 13 was business changing. Like, it changed the industry.
Yeah.
Taker, Triple H. Second, both of them, more the second one for drama. Michaels, Taker, both of them, the first one, preferably. Like, those straight away come to mind for me of best wrestling matches.
Yeah.
I just can't. Yeah. And in the Observer this week, or last couple of days, he said about how Triple H absolutely blew it with Ospreay and he's made the mistake and as he didn't sign, he didn't offer enough money. It's like, where's this hard on come from? Like, what's... Ospreay's good. I'm not disputing that. He's quality. We've seen him work, like, live, and he's going to be at Wembley this year for All In. And he's a great worker. I have absolutely no qualms saying that. Quality. He's become one of the best in the world. But... it's not like they're really missing him, I would say.
No, they're not. They're perfectly happy going about their business without Will Ospreay. My opinions on Will Ospreay are slightly different. I think he's just Ricochet, a better PR. I think I'm almost agreeing with Big Van Vader here that he's just a gymnast. But Bryan Danielson, for me, is still one of the best in the world. I think it was fantastic. Yes. We could definitely lose the kneeling on the floor, headbutting each other, please, lads, because it's 2024. Yeah. It's fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. And moves from the top rope where Daniel Bryan lands on the back of his neck as well. Don't need those.
No.
Really don't need those.
But yeah, this is going to get... who was retired because of a neck injury. It's like, I get what you're going for, and it was safe, and whatever, but we don't need it.
I mean, this is going to get all the stars in the world from Meltzer. It's going to be the record-breaking star match of all time. But for me, I've watched all of Dynasty now. I preferred Swerve when it beat Joe for the title. Preferred that as a match because there's a story to it. There's more story there than there is just, I want to be the best. No, I want to be the best. Let's have a great match and see who the best in the world is. Swerve winning that title is months and months and months in the making.
Mm-hmm.
That means more to me as a wrestling fan. Just that's my opinion, how I prefer to watch my wrestling. And like you say, Taker and Triple H in a cell with Shawn Michaels as guest referee is the most I've ever been invested in a wrestling match because there's 5 years worth of story in one match. It's incredible. But, you know, I've seen some of the grades for this show. People are off their head. Some places have given Jericho versus Hook like A minuses and B pluses for that.
What?
Yeah, that was 50 that minutes was of an old man beating up one of the
big wrestlers. Also, did you catch Jericho's latest nickname he's given himself as well?
No, what is he now?
The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho.
Like, how many nicknames does this man need? Isn't he Lionheart as well?
He's Lionheart, he's Painmaker, he's the Learning Tree. I'm pretty sure he's also trademarked Jericho Vortex. I think. What is the point of Jericho beating Hook? Like, I know Jericho fans, and Jericho on his podcast will literally go on and say, I'm back making. I'm giving him the rub. You're not though, because
no, you're not, because you've beaten
him. Jericho's worked with Sammy Guevara. Did he get the rub? No, he didn't.
No.
Action Andretti did not get a rub. He's not even on TV now. Like, who else Jericho worked with? Worked with MJF. If MJF got over, it's because of MJF.
He got himself over in that company.
Yeah. Like, Chris Jericho did one thing right now, was he was the champ, the first champ, because he was the biggest name. I have no argument about making him the first champ. That made sense.
No, that's the way you make it, build a company, yeah.
But at this point, Jericho is still the highest paid wrestler in AEW, and I don't understand what he offers. People are literally chanting, please go away at him.
Yeah,
please
fuck retire. Fozzy was the first chant of this match. Yeah.
And this is an apparent amazing AEW crowd who's so in touch with what people want, and they are the greatest fans in the world. Like, but they want him to go away. This isn't X-Pac heat. This is we fucking hate you. You possibly assaulted women as well, but we'll let that go for now. We just COVID don't like denier. You anymore. Yeah.
There's so many things.
So that overall, was our AW. That was our AW.
So overall, I thought Dynasty was a pretty good show. I thought Okada Pack was a great opening. I thought House of Black finally looked good.
I'm interested in seeing Copeland versus Malakai Black. I would like to see that.
I like Willow Nightingale. I think she's very good, and she's going to lose to Mercedes because she needs that belt apparently.
Mercedes has no star aura, and I want to know what happened. What happened?
I watched her debut,
and she came across as like a mega star. Like the presentation was spot on; it was perfect. That was only a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
what? She's just a person.
Yeah.
Is it because she's got a title shot straight away, and it's like, oh, that's not a good. That's not. I mean, I assume she'll go heel because she's a fucking awful babyface.
Yeah, Willow's a massive
and baby faces
yeah.
don't get title shots as they first come in. They have to earn them.
They've done nothing.
But yeah, it's a very... For all those... People keep talking about like free agents this year, and there's obviously contracts coming up and stuff, and AEW are going to make plays for them, which they're in their right to do. Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But you think these guys will be looking, thinking, but do I want to go there? Because I look at Mercedes. I look at... Okay, Ospreay's obviously doing well. Okada's doing well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But then I look at people like Adam Copeland, who is okay, he's got a belt, and he's having fun, he's working what he wants to work. But he's only there really because of Christian, because he wants to work these different guys, because he's at the end of his career.
Yeah.
If you're... And we'll get onto him in our section at the end. If you're Drew McIntyre or Finn Balor, who have still got years ahead of you, would you want to go to AEW? Because the revolving door, and it's like, okay, well, I'll get a shot straight away, but then I very soon won't. And I'm just like, all right.
Exactly. Then you'll disappear.
We've got the best roster in the world, but you can only at the end of the day put on 8 matches on the pay-per-view. And I don't.
Balor signing a new deal. He's signing a big, big money WWE deal, is the report that I saw this week. And he tweeted saying, thanks for the previous 10 years. I ain't going anywhere. Like,
and
he's
AW,
here to stay.
We're interested in him.
They would offer him, they'd offer him Mercedes money, Okada money. And like you say,
but why would Balor go there? Other than to work with people he obviously has worked with before.
Yeah.
But what's the, like, because, I mean, the whole stuff with Young Bucks and obviously Jack Perry showed up at Dynasty, and that was the whole, the CM Punk footage. And I don't care about Jack Perry. I don't care. I think both of them were silly for the whole backstage stuff. Looking at that footage, my question would be, if two guys are face-to-face, nose-to-nose, having that chat, why are they not getting broken up in the first place?
Yeah.
Why is Tony Khan not getting out from on his monitor before
just
he
finished
his life? And why don't you split them up? Why did he get to the point where Punk did get in his face and shove him? Even though what happened is what Punk said happened, so you know. I'm not sure. But anyway, let's get back onto Raw, because we've got a battle royal to go through for the vacant Women's World Championship.
Yeah.
In no particular order, Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Natalya, Tegan Nox, Ivy Nile, Maxine Dupree, still recovering from the burn that Chad Gable gave her, Tana Chance, Kayden Carter, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, Piper Niven, Chelsea Green, Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell.
All those
straight
women...
Away, go on.
There's not a lot of star power there, is there?
I was going to say, straight away, you could, on one hand, you could pick the women you knew would win, and you'd still have fingers to spare.
Yes. I would put maybe 4 fingers up. Becky.
Okay, I'm going to say, let me guess them. Becky.
Yeah.
Nia.
Yeah.
Liv.
Yeah.
And...
I have a thing for Shayna Baszler. I think she is an incredible wrestler.
I think she would be accepted if she were to win. I think it would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
we're kind of on board with it.
Yeah.
They would be my 4. honestly, exactly. that I would say could have won this, and the crowd would have gone either yay or boo, but we're booing you because you're a heel, and therefore we should be booing you, not like a, oh, what?
Why? The other 11 women here had absolutely no chance of winning this. At least they now have to go over the top rope and touch the floor. They don't have to just go under the bottom rope or whatever it used to be in the Bellarine.
If you've only got four people that really could have legitimately won this, why couldn't you have done a tournament?
Exactly. Yeah. You could have
if
put
he
eight,
wants to make up
together.
The numbers, Natalia's got tenure. People seem to think she's still a, you know, experienced, like, legend. I don't see it really myself. I've never got the Natalia thing.
No, she's
I
fine.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
But Natalia, you could say Chelsea Green because she's that kind of, she sneaks her way into stuff. Yeah. So fine, put her in there.
Yeah.
You could say Piper Niven because she of her size. She's intimidating. Fine, that's seven. And then you could probably go...
Maybe Zoe Stark.
Zoe Stark because she has got some, obviously in the past, she's beat Becky Lynch. So, you know, she's got that. There's your eight.
Or Tegan Knox because of her thing Knox. With Natalia. Yeah, there's your eight people.
There you go, done.
Tournament right there.
That's it. Fucking hell. Okay, so eliminations. Lorraine and Hartwell got eliminated by Maxine Dupri.
Mm-hmm.
Chance got eliminated by Shayna Baszler. Carter got eliminated by Zoe Stark. Nia got rid of Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. Becky showed up, got rid of Piper Niven. Then at ringside, Nia Jax, who went under the rope, she pulled Becky out. Slammed Becky onto the announce table and then slammed Piper onto Becky onto the table, and the table did not break.
This
three times the
monster,
table did not
Nia
break. So Becky gets laid out, and at this moment I knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely did. And I was like, oh no, don't do this. And I knew they were going to do it. So back in the ring, Chelsea gets eliminated by Zoe Stark, Natalia gets eliminated by Shayna Baszler. Nia back in eliminates Stark and Baszler. We're left to Nia versus Liv. Lynch gets her way back in the ring heroically.
Yeah.
Her and Liv get rid of Nia. And then we get a repeat of Elimination Chamber. Last two, Becky versus Liv. I wanted Liv because I think her as champion and Rhea coming back was a story. But Becky won.
I don't mind Becky winning. There's been a lot of hate for it online.
Yeah. Becky's and she's fine. And she's good to put in there as, oh, shit, we need a new champion. Becky's over. She'll be fine. She'll carry it. And she'll give the rub to someone when someone beats her. That's fine.
Yeah.
But this was a chance to do something a bit different. And I think they wasted that chance.
They need to mix these rosters up, the female rosters, especially in the draft. It needs a real shake up. NXT in there as well. Mix all of this up because there's a lot of people. Becky could face new people. Like, I know Cora Jade's injured at the minute, but you've got Roxanne Perez who could come and give a feud with Becky straight away and it'd be fine.
And she was on SmackDown last week before last. So she's worked main roster. Like, she's already exposed to the main roster audience.
Yeah, there's a lot more women down in NXT as well and on SmackDown that they're not really utilising. So just give it a bit of a shake-up. Give us something new for Becky to do to make this worthwhile. If it's just they're going to run back Becky versus Nia or Becky versus Liv, which is probably where they're going to go, then fine, there'll be decent matches, but there's not that massive excitement there.
I think what they probably did, they looked about it. These are the women that we're going to have in this match. We've got 15 here. That's fine. They're the raw rostered. Okay. Could Nia be champion? Yeah, she could, but maybe if... There's probably criteria. Do we want whoever wins this to hold the belt till Rhea comes back? Okay, so one, if we are not going to turn Rhea officially babyface, then we can't have a heel be champion. Okay, fine. So let's give it to Liv. Ah, but Liv's got the revenge tour stuff, and the revenge really should be taking the belt off of Rhea, not just winning it because of her injury. And they're telling the story maybe of Liv and Dom, and that could be part of the revenge thing. So that means Liv can't be champion. Okay, well, that leaves Becky then, because then we can run back Becky versus Rhea. I know Rhea said a few months. That a few months to me puts you to July. You might as well wait till SummerSlam and go Becky versus Rhea at SummerSlam, because Rhea could come back and say, "Mummy's back, I want my belt." And Becky, okay, I'll take you on SummerSlam. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You need a women's title match big enough for the occasion.
Yeah.
Like, we're looking at, depending on injuries and how things fall, SummerSlam could be Punk versus McIntyre, Cody versus, I'm not going to say Rock, because I don't think we see Rock till next year. Cody versus Solo, maybe.
Solo, yeah.
And Roman versus Seth. I think there's potentially your big three SummerSlam. I mean, that's a fucking huge SummerSlam card.
It's a stacked headline.
You need a women's match to match that. And yeah. after the banger they put on at Mania, Becky versus Rhea, I'd say ticks that box.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, their Mania match was really, really good. Rhea looked like an absolute dominant champion. And coming back as the babyface, probably.
Maybe, or at least you could, I mean, you could turn Becky heel.
Yeah.
You could even use the, you know, people hated me because I won the belt. And if you want to use a realism to it, and Becky proves she can work heel. And she got definitely, over that kind of thing of, will I be accepted to heel? She's done it once, she can do it again. If you've got the right baby face, anyone could be a heel. Like
It goes against their characters, I think. Rhea is a natural heel, but yeah, I think she will come back as babyface at least for the first week before she does something.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that if you have those four matches to headline your SummerSlam.
Yeah,
it's pretty stacked, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's without whatever SmackDown throw up as well.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as the women and the tag titles and the US title and stuff. I mean, Logan Paul, our shooting.
Got Logan Paul trying to do
SummerSlam. Yeah. That's what I mean. And he's going to have a massive part in SummerSlam. So who knows what they've got lined up for Logan Paul? Like, Jesus Christ. I really enjoyed this Raw. This was unlike most pre draft Raws, which are usually shit. This was really good because everything, again, it has purpose. We don't always agree with what happens, but it has purpose. We get Drew talking truth. We get Chad in a suit. Oh my God. We get a new champion. That's newsworthy. You know, we get little things starting to tell, little seeds being planted that might go somewhere, might not, but we're talking about it, and that's all that matters. So
you're at a point where you can bring out your world champion and his number one contender to start the show, and then you don't really even need to think about it for the rest of the night because job's done.
That's it. That is literally it.
Yeah.
Like, Damien showed up a couple of times, but they've got so much on the show right now. Like, say, for example, if Damien can't work a couple of roles, Jay's there. He's over, you know.
Exactly,
we've got Gunter. He's over. We've got Chad. We've got Sammy. We've got Sheamus. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. What a roster Paul Levesque has to work with right now.
Absolutely stacked, isn't it?
Okay, so we're heading to Backlash France in Lyon. In a couple of weeks, we have two matches officially confirmed for the show. Undisputed WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, and the World Heavyweight Championship on the line as Damian Priest takes on Jey Uso. Just on those two alone, so far so good.
Yeah,
I genuinely think Cody versus AJ, with pay-per-view time, we could be talking classic here.
It'd be a banger, absolutely. They need to start filling this card up a little bit, though, don't they? Not 2 weeks.
They do. Yeah, I mean, because it's after a draft, it does feel it could be some stuff thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, obviously, we've had the tag title match now.
Yeah.
That number one contender's got four. I don't know if we've got the Street Profits tag title shot confirmed yet, but I assume that would probably be on SmackDown.
Yeah, that should be right,
So, there might be a bit of thrown together, but I think given that it's going to be Backlash in front of a new crowd, that will boost something, and we could see some new matches in terms of the draft. So I think there'll be enough to get it through. Okay, right. On some other news, we have some releases. So last week on Friday, while SmackDown was on the air, it was reported online that WWE released Jinder Mahal, Xia Li, Zion Quinn, Sanger, and Veer. Now, it's also been reported in the last couple of days that Von Wagner has also been released from NXT. Now, new policy within WWE, it seems, is they don't officially announce the releases anymore. No more future endeavors. They don't even announce them via memo or email within the company. They just tell the people you've gone, and that's it. Now, I did see a report that said that the phone calls that are made are no longer the cold, create nothing for you, see you later calls. They're now more softer. They're more sympathetic. It's amazing what good leadership can do, isn't it?
I was just thinking, it's almost like the company's not run by an absolute fucking monster anymore.
Yeah. What a weird business practice it is. the news has been confirmed by multiple, and I'll say reputable outlets. So not Meltzer.
Not Meltzer.
some of the affected talent have already taken social media to speak about their release. Jinder actually tweeted that he quit. However, it has been reported that he was part of the release. Hence why he's got a 90-day no compete, which he wouldn't have had if he quit. Now, Fightful Select, who are one of the more reputable sources, had said they've been told that the cuts were made as a combination of, and I quote, not appearing on television due to creative not having anything for the talent, as well as upward trajectory based on progression and how long they've been with the company. though, I think with people like
Sanger and Veer have had nothing to do for a long time. They've repackaged Veer three times at this point. That's what I mean. Worked.
Like, they've been on TV. Yeah. They've been off TV. They've been back on TV. NXT, main roster. They're not going anywhere.
No.
So you can absolutely see why they've been released. Like, I'll never support anyone losing their job, of course. But
no. You
can see, if they've got a criteria of how to determine a release, you can see how they've come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Von Wagner, again, he was main roster briefly, worked a couple of matches, then went back to NXT. He's one of those that they always looked at as a main roster guy, but never could find anything for him. So again,
he looked very much like a Vince guy.
Yeah, a little bit. PW Insider is saying there's been sympathy backstage, specifically for Jinder and Xia Li, and we speak about this previously. Jinder has nothing to do for years and then gets thrown a bone, like he was booked in the angle with a rock on New Year's.
Yeah.
Nailed it for me. I thought he held up his end really well. He spoke well. He came off quite serious against the Rock, did his bit, and then got no follow-up. He obviously had a match with Seth Rollins again. He worked well, looked good. Yeah. Seeing that Seth was in that match, he took care of him, but then nothing happened with Jinder. And it's like, what does the guy have to do? Like I saw an interview with Jinder actually before we started recording where he's in a group text with Indashare, with the travel department. So they all got a text saying, we don't need you for the New Year's Day Raw for day one. But then he got a text separately saying, we need you to travel out. So he's like, all right, but they're advertising for the WWE champion. It won't be me, but I'm guessing I'm being involved because I'm being called out.
Yeah.
So he texts Indashare and said, you go on the Raw. I'm like, no. He's like, oh, just me then. Then like 2 days before the show, he was phoned and said, you're working with the Rock. He's like, really? Yeah, what, you're working with the Rock. And it's all right, so you're going to fly someone out who wasn't flying out.
Yeah.
Put him in an angle with the hottest star in Hollywood, as he's about to start an angle with Roman, because that was when he did the head of the table line. But then you're not going to do anything with the guy. Like,
Strange. Yeah, his booking's been very strange this year, especially. TNA?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I'd love to see him on AEW, but I think TNA seems the spot for Jinder.
Like, Tony will offer money, obviously. And he may well just want the money and go and take it, because why not? Wrestling's a very short career. It's a long life with a short career. But I think he could go and be really, really successful in TNA, because they value good wrestlers and people that can get people over and have good matches. Jinder isn't the best, but he is a very, very solid hand. And with some of the people they've got over there, he can have some good views.
I mean this with no disrespect, as it's going to sound, but we could be looking at a TNA pay-per-view main event somewhere down the line of Dolph Ziggler versus Jinder Mahal. We could see it. Like, this past week, TNA brought back Matt Hardy. Broke the Matt Hardy show up in TNA. Apparently, he's not on the contract. It's like a pay appearance thing. And he's still teasing he could end up in WWE. Please, God, no.
It's going to happen.
But TNA is a spot you can go to. Like, it gives them regular work. They're back on TV. They've got a deal with a UK TV station now on Sky. They're still going. Against all odds, it seems, they're still going as a company.
The thing is, they're not trying to compete anymore. They've realised fully that they're in their own lane, and which could be a good wrestling company, an option for people that haven't got a job elsewhere. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the wrestling industry needs, is a place like that. It's the new Ring of Honor. It's the new sort of, that's where you go and wrestle until you get a call up from one of the two big companies.
I do think these releases are going to, it is a bit of an insight into how it may work in a TKO Endeavor world now. So whereas you may look and think, how could Paul Levesque release those guys? And you think, but was this down to Paul? So we're in the past, Vince was like, I don't like you anymore. You're gone. Whereas, now it's a whole new ballgame, because now TKO, there's balance sheets, there's balance books.
Yeah.
There's
why are we paying this guy this much money to not do anything?
Like, apparently,
on TV?
Jinder was on $900,000 a year. Like, that's massive money for someone who doesn't work that much.
Yeah.
And fair play to Jinder for getting that. Applaud you already, sir, I applaud you again. That's impressive.
Yeah.
If you're someone at Endeavor who obviously just been brought as well themselves, they're looking and saying, oh, Jinder Mahal, whatever. It's like $900K a year. Is he a big star? No. Was he at WrestleMania? No.
Yeah.
Is he on TV? What's... Obviously, we've got the new Netflix deal. Is he on TV? No, he's not really on TV.
Yeah. What's he bringing in merchandise-wise?
Yeah. Oh, well, there's no real numbers for Jinder merchandise. Right, so why are we paying him then?
Yeah, that's exactly.
How long has he been there? Well, this is the second time in the company, and he's been there since 2017, this time around.
Yeah.
And he won the belt in 2017, but he's done nothing since. Like, all right. I mean, he's gone then. Like, that's literally it.
Yeah.
And I
it's
think
a business. It's an incredibly well-run business. Endeavor, yeah. From what I know of their work with UFC, they do not waste money. When they invest in something, they invest in something that's going to be big.
Well, they watched UFC. You followed UFC, you know, from a bunch of an in-octagon way, and also the business side, as obviously, you know, you break things down. You will see, as you said, how UFC work, and that are continuing to work. This is how it is.
Yeah, they're the most successful fight combat company by more than double what WWE is worth. Like, they are incredibly successful in their field. And yeah, to have Endeavor own both of those is an incredible sort of profile of companies for them.
No more releases apparently planned as of now. But again, if someone at Endeavor decides to open the balance books one day, then who knows, there could be more.
Yeah.
So, okay, a little bit of other news. Injuries now. Seth Rollins, who, of course, was injured back on the January 15th Raw against Jinder, or in the match with Jinder.
Yeah.
Didn't work for 3 months and then came back for 2 nights of WrestleMania. Has now undergone surgery for the torn meniscus that he actually suffered in January. Turns out he never got surgery when he should have back then. He worked through it to get cleared to work a double header. He worked Mania with a torn meniscus. The Rock actually put him over on Instagram on one of his actual Dwayne Johnson, you know, I'm telling the truth promos
here. I'm not being the Rock right now.
And he called him the MVP because he worked through that. And if you watch a lot of the fan videos of the main event, the Cody match on night two, when Seth was getting to the ring for his spot with the chair and the shield, he was struggling to move.
He wasn't selling
from the Drew match.
No.
He couldn't. He could barely move.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when Austin came back at Backlash 2000 after looking like a bit of a whale because he's had neck surgery and he had to help himself up with a chair? I'm pretty sure he was moving more than Seth Rollins was. On that knee.
There's a fan cam of when he gets Superman punched and his knee leg is not supposed to go sideways. It wobbles out from the knee. It looks awful. And obviously, the man has had serious knee injuries in the past, so he needs to take some time off now, get better. And there's no need to rush back. Like, you have got a place on that card at the very top of the card whenever you want to come back. Because the Rock, like you say, the Rock has put you over out of character. You are the the MVP. Like, that's, you take as much time as he wants to get better.
Well, at Mania, after the Cody match, like, they showed Seth on the floor and he's like, you look at it and think, but you only got a Superman punch. Why can't you be in the ring? And
it
turns out this is why. Like, he genuinely couldn't, you saw he was crying. He was in
You showed him
pain.
Being helped to the back with Kevin Owens. He had his arm around him.
Owens,
I thought that looked
Jay had to
part
help
of the
him
story.
Into the ring. And then Cody obviously did the handshake after, and it was like, you know, that was, Seth shouldn't have been out there. But it was Seth almost being his shield shoot as well as kayfabe, it seems. Like, he wanted to be there. And
brilliant.
Yeah, he's gone now. So recovery time for this is dependent on the surgery he had. Still not sure, or hasn't been announced in terms of what level he had. If he had a less invasive procedure, you're looking at 2 or 3 months out.
Yeah.
If he had the extensive reconstruction that, let's be honest, he probably should have, you're looking at about 8 months on the shelf.
Take the 8 months, come back at Rumble to the biggest pop we've seen since Edge at Rumble.
I mean, if Punk is champion by then,
yeah,
and Punk is probably a heel by then as well, he must be itching to turn heel. I mean, Seth winning the Rumble to go to Punk at Mania.
Yeah.
Story told.
There's
literally right there. Sometimes wrestlers get injured at the most convenient times for Rumble returns, don't they?
They really do.
Look when Cody got his injury. It's like, new guy comes in, massively over, big star, wants
works
the title,
summer.
Gets injured to come back at Rumble. It's like, and it's just weird that 8 months from now would put it to pretty much end of the year and you could hold off for Rumble. Could make his big return at Rumble.
I love Seth more than anyone else in the world. Just take the year off. Like, you deserve it for the amount of work he's done, like being that fighting champion and working with that injury as well. My knee hurts most days. I couldn't imagine getting in a wrestling ring.
Also, right now, does he need to come back in the sense of like every, like he's got big matches there waiting for him. But yeah, obviously the Punk thing's the big one. Like that's a, that's Mania. That's not any other match than other Mania. Like Punk versus Seth is WrestleMania all the way.
Yeah.
But you look at like the people involved, like Punk's got Drew waiting for him and Drew's working right now and Drew's on, on top of the world. You've got the champions kind of establishing themselves and they've got things they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Like Seth doesn't need to rush back.
No, he Becky's absolutely
obviously
doesn't.
Working still. Now she's the champ. She's still going to be working. So Seth's at home. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
why not? Take the time. Like, the thing is, like, he had this time off injured, but he was working every Raw when he was injured at the beginning of the year. He worked every match, every show. He was working SmackDown. He was working the WrestleMania stuff to do the stuff with The Rock. Like, that man worked and suffered on a fucking torn meniscus. He worked 45 minutes with Rock and Roman and then worked another 15 minutes the next. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, my wife did that. I have a very similar injury about 2 years ago. She couldn't even get herself up onto the sofa to sit down. She had to be like carried out of the house and go to the hospital. The fact that he could work two matches is fucking astonishing. It really is.
I just don't know how you do it. I don't know.
Adrenaline is a hell of a drug, right?
It is. Now, considering that The Rock announced he came through both notes of manual injury free and he came through his match, his 45-minute match, absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Now, we looked at it and we could see some of those guys were working a bit easier because they knew they had Mania the next night two to come.
Yeah.
But for The Rock to come through his match unscathed says a lot about the people he was working with.
Yeah. He's also training for a movie where he's part of the UFC. I don't know.
He's playing a UFC fighter, which is going to require a lot of...
That's not believable. You're a fucking monster. You're not a UFC-style wrestler fighter.
Yeah, I don't need to see that. Not in the slightest.
No.
But yeah, I'm with you. Seth, take as much time off as you need. You've earned it. Come back even better and come back when it's the perfect time. And Rumble, to me, seems like the perfect time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Drew McIntyre, as we've already said, top of the world. Probably the best guy on the active, best active top guy full-time right now on the roster. He's injured. He's dealing with a badly hyperextended elbow, which is where the elbow basically bends in the wrong direction more than it should. Yep. He may have worked Mania with it. He definitely worked the night after Mania with it. He worked the UK tour with it last week against, I mean, Jey Uso must be an easy night because Jey's solid. But yeah, he's working with a hyperextended elbow.
He's got these guys do. For one, they're idiots. Yeah. But they must imagine, like, if I get a bit of a cold or a headache, I don't feel like going to work that day. Imagine having a fucking torn meniscus or a hyperextended elbow and having to go and be thrown around the ring. Like
I've got tonsillitis right now, and my last 2 days at work have been hell. And I've had to sort of flex my kind of days with a lot of meetings to try and get through them. And it hurts to talk. But I'm not missing the podcast because I love doing this.
No.
But can you imagine, like, a torn meniscus or your elbow going in the arm going in the wrong direction? And you're working, like, Mania, and you're working against three other men like in the ring, and you're flying over to another country, and you're working night after night. I mean,
but Drew's Claymore, he throws himself up in the air and he takes a hard back bump. We've all watched wrestling. You hit your arms on the floor as you bump to support your back.
He's taking a bump on the hyperextended elbow.
You're fucking maniac.
I did see actually. He worked one of the shows and got into a bit of a verbal battle with Wayne Rooney.
Yes, I saw that.
You're the same age as me. What the hell happened to you? Point. It's a valid point, I have to say. A bit more about Drew. So it's fully expected that he will sign a brand new contract with the company shortly. He is into his, I think, it's the last 4 or 5 weeks.
I would be if he walks out, I would be so fucking shocked.
I think he had it was due to expire early in the year, but where he had some time off injured, it gets added on. So, he's working that period now. It was a while ago. There were the reports that he wanted time off because he wasn't fulfilled creatively with the company, with his character. Apparently that's no longer the case. He is firmly on board with what he's doing. He loves what he's doing. And he's actually recognized apparently as one of the company's top full-time performers, which he is. He absolutely is.
He absolutely
He's top tier right now. And you can tell he's liking what he's doing. He's enjoying it. And yeah, I think it's a matter of time before he signs that deal. You said obviously earlier, Finn Balor's signing his deal. Becky would very likely be signing her deal if she hasn't already. I think Seth's deal's due up at some point. He will absolutely sign.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Drew signing, you work in Scotland. You could, I mean, at some point, Drew's got to get that title this year, right?
Yeah. That it just seems perfect, doesn't it? It's all set up, the entire event built around him at this point.
Like Drew, like Damien versus Drew for Clash in the Castle. I don't see how you get that wrong. Like, I don't. I just
how over, for people that weren't there, it's hard to explain how over Drew was in Wales. That's not even his home country. And the fucking arena was so loud for that man that we were desperate for him to beat Roman then. And that was 18 months ago.
And that was a UK crowd. This would be a Scottish crowd.
Who have been on the cans all day. Especially
you also
Bruce.
Imagine if he doesn't win the belt there. They won't get out alive.
Oh my God, they'll be a riot. Christ.
Nothing annoys the Scots more than them. That, you know, I mean, we know, we're pretty sure I'm going to call it right now that, where is it? Is it Glasgow? It's in Glasgow.
It's over arena,
okay, so A Town Down Under will be wearing Celtic shirts then.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And the babyface will have Ranger shirts on. I think we can. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know where Glasgow. So I was talking about this. We're slightly veering off to football again, but
they're both Glasgow clubs, you know, aren't they?
But like Manchester fans in Manchester don't tend to support Manchester teams. Like teams everywhere else support Manchester teams. Although out of the two, more people in Manchester probably support Man City than Man U.
Yeah.
In Glasgow, is that what's the ratio of Glasgow?
The problem with doing that in Glasgow is it's incredibly political, picking one or the other. Like you could get in some real serious trouble if you say some certain things about certain teams.
Yeah, they want to do a bit of research before they give any kind of words to their heels, I'd say, about promos. Yeah. So Drew should sign shortly, and I can't wait to see what Drew going forward can do with the power of the machine behind him.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Okay, that's another week in wrestling. A lot's happening because a lot's going on right now and things are building nicely. The draft is this coming week. It starts on Friday. CM Punk has advertised for both episodes of the draft shows. Ooh. Oh, yes. Give me some Drew versus Punk on the mic. Give me some Punk versus... Who on SmackDown can he go up against?
You think he might be announcing picks? If he's just
maybe.
On there for both shows.
He could be. It's interesting. We have what? Because surely they don't need to advertise many people to get the viewers. It's the draft. Because Cody's obviously back because he's got the contract signing. So if you're announcing Punk and you go onto the events page of WWE.com selling tickets, Punk's face is all over the adverts for the Raw and SmackDown drafts.
Mm.
So something you think is gonna go down involving Punk and to give him a reason for why he's there.
Yeah. It's setting something up, isn't it?
Okay, right. Let's do our admin before we ride off into the sunset. You, of course, can now find all of our social media links over at linktree.com/ringthebellpod. On there, you'll also see our brand new merch store, courtesy of Teespring, where we have new shirts and hoodies, a variety of colours and sizes, and they ship worldwide. You can now get the brand new Justice for Jinder t-shirt, as well as the Not Afraid of the Griff, Not Afraid of the Graft. Graft? Not graft, is it?
Grind.
It's grind, even. Too many G's. Not Afraid of the Grind, or the Damn It, I Love Professional Wrestling shirt. We both have our eyes on stuff for that campaign.
And you can use ClearPlay to pay as well. If you are struggling for money but still want to buy some merch, you can spread it out over 4 months. It's not a problem.
You can. So all sizes, all colours you want. If there's a shirt that's not in the colour you want, let us know and we can probably put it in the colour that you want. It's
definitely
fine.
Yeah.
We have representation there for LGBT+. We have UK-based. We even have the, which specifically was for Ross's daughter in mind, for the Armour Ross Bell guy. That is in kids' shirts as well. Why not? So it's all there. So yes, get on there. It's on linktree.com/ringthebellpod for all of our social media links. We also, of course, are all over the podcast platforms where, if you'd like to, and we'd appreciate, a 5-star rating and a review. Be really, really, really appreciative. You can get us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music Podcasts, and more. Wherever You Find Podcast, You're Finding the Bell. And speaking of interaction and engagement, we have some on the last few shows, haven't we? But I keep forgetting to read it out.
we have, yes. Let me just find them quickly. Emma Wood on Twitter. She's one of she's a big Leeds fan. And she is the partner of the lovely LUFC Stats, who does some great work for charity and some great work with Leeds United Stats. But yeah, she's been loving our show. She's been leaving us comments on Spotify. So you can, if you listen to this on Spotify, you can leave a comment. Let us know what you want us to talk about, that sort of stuff. And we will read them out on the pods. Emma mentioned on the Roar After Mania that she would definitely be up for a woman's only show. It's been a long time since we had Evolution, actually, isn't it? A long time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because we spoke about like a weekly show, didn't we? And I know Emma said about like almost like a main event, like a weekly show, but just for the women.
Yeah. Why not? There's enough women. If you can get 15 women on Raw, you can get 15 on SmackDown plus NXT. There's enough women there to fill out a weekly show.
Do you think how much more that Battle Royal could have meant if all of those women actually meant something, didn't just feel like fodder, and then you had the four legitimate people that could have won?
Yeah.
Like, if you had a weekly show highlighting all of the women and what they can do and what their stories are and their characters and their personalities, every woman's match would mean something. And therefore, when you have a Battle Royal or a tournament, you have investment in every single participant in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
Hit us up with more of your good ideas. Just go to the Q&A part of our episodes on Spotify.
And as a little trail, we have some more projects in the work coming soon. I believe very soon. So have you finished the Becky book now? Or is that still ongoing?
I've got like two chapters to go.
Okay, so coming soon, we will be introducing a brand new show called The Reading Corner. And that will be us looking at Becky Lynch's autobiography. And we also have a new project coming where we'll be looking at all of the WrestleManias through all of the eras, which also gave us a chance to find out what some of the eras were called. and we were reminded of the reality era, and that was horrific.
Almost vomited.
So, yes, so I think it's worked out to be five episodes where we will look at the main years in that particular era, and we will even rank them as well, which is going to be no mean feat.
It's quite hard, yeah, because I've been looking through them and, fuck me, the first sort of nine Manias, the cards are dreadful, bar like one or two matches.
Yeah. Also, shows that have gone down in history as great shows, turns out they're not actually great shows when you go back and look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with
and shows that were panned and slated, you look back and actually, that's not a bad show.
The one with Macho and Steamboat on.
Mania 3.
The rest of that card is absolute dog shit. Absolutely awful.
It's amazing what revisionist history does, really, isn't it?
Thank God for matching them.
Yeah, Jesus. Okay, right. That's our show done. Join us similar time next week, give or take, for our look at the draft and where all of the pieces fall. We'll be able to cover all of that and on the almost the last road to Backlash in France. Okay, right. Thank you for listening and for contributing and for all of the engagement I'm sure you would do on our social media and podcast platforms. This has been Ring the Bell. I've been Andrew.
And I've been Ross. Andrew.
Yep.
Ring that bell.